crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Remember golden days when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. Now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win.
Welcome back, folks, to the second hour here of the Concord Lantern. I'm your host, Maggie Rose, and you're listening to us courtesy of Republic Broadcasting Network out of Texas. Julie is our board engineer and manager today, and today's date is March the 25th, 2024. This will be going to the archives that you can pull up anytime for free for your listening pleasure again. Any information that you did not get or you did not write down, remember, I encourage you all to have a piece of paper and a pen handy when you're listening to my show. We're also now going to be bringing up Chris Brumbles. He is my co-host often here on the Concord Lantern. And I know that he's going to have some questions to ask of Jeff regarding people coming to a Fortitude Ranch and what are the requirements for them bringing their tools with them, their protection under our Second Amendment rights. Chris, are you in the wings?
I'm here.
Chris, this is Jeff. Jeff, this is Chris Brumbles.
Hey, Chris. And Maggie, if I could, I'd like to finish my answer to the question you asked me before we went to break. Would that be okay?
That's great. Yes.
Your question was basically the American Redoubt in Idaho. A lot of conservatives have moved to that specific geography. In questions about, you know, the UN or another government agency taking action. And the first answer I gave you, I said, you know, you were talking about drones, so on and so forth. You know, you have to assume attached to every drone is a missile. Okay. Iraq, Afghanistan, they took a page out of Mao's playbook. Guerrilla warfare is about three things. Mainly, it's about time, it's about space, and it's about the will of the people. And the reason that we lost in Vietnam was because they were able to take away a lot of our technological advantage. And so if you're going to fight a technologically superior foe, the first thing you have to do is you have to stop using the devices that they are depending on you to use in order for them to find you. That means cell phones, radios. Communication has to be through bike messenger. It has to be through, if you have a carrier pigeon, great. But it has to be person to person and face to face. But at the end of the day, it's about time, space, and will. It's about dragging things out. It's about space. It's about having room to maneuver so that where they think you are one place, you're able to get to somewhere else. You know, in Afghanistan, the reason they hid in caves were not because they loved living in caves. It's because it helped to mitigate our things like our ability to use thermal targeting systems, our ability to use satellites. Now, when they were out in the open and they used a cell phone, they were done for. But the reason that they lived in caves and would go to caves is because it helped to mitigate that technological advantage. And then finally, you have will. And will basically means, are the people that you're fighting for going to get tired? Are they willing to back you up, the people that are fighting? And clearly in Afghanistan, some were and some weren't. In Iraq, same. And in Vietnam, they stuck to their guns. There is a fantastic book that I recommend. It was written about guerrilla warfare prior to our involvement in the Vietnam War, and it's called War of the Flea. And it's by a gentleman who was a journalist named Robert Taber, and I think I'm pronouncing that right, T-A-B-E-R. And basically that is a great book to understand how indigenous people have been able to overcome technologically superior opponents throughout history. So if there were one book that I were going to give people in Idaho to read that were concerned about this type of scenario, that would be the book.
So it's called War of the Flea, F-L-E-A, by Robert Taber, T-A-B-E-R.
That is correct.
Great. Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I was just going to ask him, do y'all generate your own electricity?
Some of our locations have grid electric. Here in Nevada, we have actually two arrays. We are 100% off grid.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there's a saying I always say, if we do have a revolution, I think it's only a matter of time, unfortunately, because we're being pushed there, but victory will belong to those who believe in it the most in the longest. And I think that's what you just said.
That seems to be what history proves out. Those who have the time, those who are willing to make something last as long as it needs to win. They have the space to move around. And most importantly, they have the strong mental fortitude and the backing of the people that aren't fighting. You know, if you're fighting a revolution or a guerrilla war or whatever the case is, and you're on the run, and there's nobody to take you in, then you're probably going to be done for. But, you know, if you do have sympathetic people around you that are willing to put their lives on the line for what they believe, then, you know, that's an equalizer to some degree.
And for the people listening, they need to know that if this happens, we can never give up. We can never give up because the enemy wants to take everything we have, everything our children ever will have. And, you know, if we lose liberty in this country, there's not going to be liberty ever again on earth.
So, I think you're absolutely correct.
I am. So, and back to you, Maggie. I'm waiting to talk about Trump.
Okay. Can we talk about Trump a little bit, Jeff?
Please.
Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Okay, now I know that Trump went to appeals court today and he got his bond lowered, but they literally wanted to start taking his stuff without an appeals court. And so Trump, he was expected to get a bond that no one could, for the highest judgment ever, the biggest fine ever, that violated the Eighth Amendment, I think. Obviously, it's too big of a fine. And I did some digging, and to get one of these bonds, you have to put 120% down. So it wasn't $454 million he would have had to put down. It would have cost him more like $575 million. Now, no one except for maybe a cartel has that much cash. And if, you know, the people did hoard that much cash, they would have to be printing money every day because there's not enough money. They don't have enough money. How am I going to say this? There's not enough money printed for all the money that's owed people in the world. It's just a fraction. So they would have had to probably print more money, and they don't have, like I said, they don't have enough money to cover the money that's out there. So nobody has $454 billion sitting around, unless it's, like you say, the drug cartels where we've seen them be raided and they have rooms and rooms full of cash. Do you know who, Maggie, you remember who Bernard Lawrence Madoff was?
Yes, I do.
Bernie Madoff. He's the mastermind of the largest Ponzi scheme ever, with the exception of the Federal Reserve. And he stole $65 million from people. He had tons of victims, and he only had to put a $10 million bond down, and it was in a Manhattan court. But they wanted Trump to put down $454 million just to be able to appeal, with no crime, no victims. Everybody made money. No one was complaining. This was purely politically driven and for revenge. It's chilling to business. It would have. I think it's going to destroy all the business, especially in New York. I mean, who would start a business in New York knowing that you could work your whole life, and then at the end of your life, they make up, you know, they change laws so they can get past the statute of limitations so they can try you, and then they try to take everything you have. This is ridiculous.
It is.
But they did lower him. They lowered him today down to $175 million, which is better. Right, so he's got 10 days to do that. And so they can't keep, I don't think they can keep adding the $1 million or every couple of days interest that they're doing. But I do think he's going to win this in the end. And then you go down to Allison Greenfield. She's been busted at several Trump rallies raising hell, and she gathered signatures to get Letitia James on the ballot. Now this is that Judge Ingram's assistant. And on June 22nd, 2022, she was with Ralph Nadler campaigning while the case was going on, and she's hung out with Toomer. Well, I call him Toomer Schumer. The judge's wife put AI pictures on the internet of Trump in jail. I mean, this stuff going on here, this is total bias and should have been thrown out of court a long time ago. So, I don't know. It's just disgusting to me. What's your take on that?
Well, I agree with you. One of the things, and I don't know how Jeff feels about this, I think whether Trump wins...
He's going to win.
He's going to win, or they try to steal the election. They have something planned of where the Antifa and Black Lives Matter, plus all these illegals that are coming over the border, some of them are known terrorists, some of them were let out of prison for committing multiple murders in their home countries. And this is what a lot of people are concerned about, because even with, you know, people say whether we live in the countryside or we go to rural areas or we go to communities like Fortitude Ranch, they're going to be very concerned because they know something's going to happen. People feel that the globalists cannot allow this to go by without causing some sort of mayhem. We already know now they're burning up many of our farms, places that are the plants that are producing baby's milk and chickens and everything else are going up in flames, sometimes 5 or 6 explosions a month in some states. They're definitely going after the food here in Oregon right now. People are saying that what they're hoping before Trump would get into office, that they're now making it illegal for people even have chickens in Oregon, whether you have 5 or 6 chickens in your property. They're trying to take away our means of food and food production. Jeff, how do you guys feel out at Fortitude Ranch, and do some of the states at the other Fortitude Ranches, are they also doing like what they're doing in Oregon, is trying to make it impossible to have your own livestock, your own chickens, your own gardens and ways of producing?
Not to the best of my knowledge, and if they did, we wouldn't listen to it. I'm going to say this one thing, just circling back to Trump really quickly. This has been happening to people across the country. He is the best example, but yeah. It goes under a different name, which is called civil asset forfeiture.
Oh, and yeah.
Essentially what it is the local authorities come in, they seize, you don't even have to be accused of a crime. They seize your property, and then you have to fight and pay to get it back if you can afford to do that. I don't really care how anybody feels personally about Donald Trump as a person. Everybody on this planet has flaws as an individual. What I think is important, the reason I think it is important to support him, and this is for no other reason, if you were going to support him, it's because of the weaponization of the bureaucracy against a private citizen. What is happening to him can happen to any one of us if we allow that to stand. And this election is about standing up and letting those bureaucracies know that it won't be tolerated. And my fervent hope is that if and when he gets into office, he changes things. There are laws created to limit the power of these bureaucracies to where they can't make rules that are then treated as laws.
Well, they're violating laws too. They don't give a damn. This is Marxists run this country. They're trying to destroy us, turn us into a neo-fascist commie society. I mean, they've been writing about it in books for years. They want a one world global order, and we're not going to allow it. I mean, I just have to say one more thing about the Trump case. Ingram, he's such a joke. He valued Mar-a-Lago at $18 million. That's Donald Trump's estate. It has over 50 bedrooms. It's on 22 acres, and it's in a pretty expensive part of Florida. For example, right by his house, there's 2 acres for sale right now for $200 million. But Mar-a-Lago is only worth $18 million. So this guy should not have been judging this case in the first place. He's obviously an idiot, and it's not even the right court. So, you know, I'm getting sick and tired of, you know, in Portland, if you were chaining the police doors and setting it on fire, trying to murder the police, you were a mostly peaceful protester. But if you were in a rally driving down the road with a Trump flag, well, you're white supremacist. You need to be arrested. This we have no justice anymore, is what I'm trying to say. So this is what these people are pushing. When you don't have any rule of law at the government level, there is no rule of law. And the only thing that can result from that is violence.
So, Maggie, to fully answer your question that you asked me before, you know, we do follow all state and local regulations, ones that are constitutional. Something like you can't collect rainwater, you can't raise chickens, you can't grow a garden. Clearly unconstitutional. Yep. And we're just, listen, at some point when enough people decide they're not going to play ball and they just decide that they're going to protest by ignoring clearly unconstitutional laws, that's step one. You know, that's step one of change. Now, the steps that follow are obviously, you know, probably not going to be as peaceful. But to answer your question directly and to make it crystal clear, we are going to do what we have to do to make sure that our members survive. They place their trust in our hands, and that is a responsibility that we take seriously.
Okay. And so people will be allowed to bring their tools with them, or will they have to check them in at the gate?
No, what you bring with you is yours. Plain and simple. If you have 5 years of freeze-dried food in your room and that you want that for yourself and your family, and, you know, we're not going to come and take it away from you. Now, hopefully you've made relationships within the members of the community that that would not be, you know, your position. But if it were, that's your property. And I make every point at every opportunity to tell our members this. This is Fortitude Ranch isn't something you check off a list. This isn't, oh, you know what, I paid for a membership. I don't have to prepare. I don't have to worry about bringing anything. They're going to take care of everything. That's not the way it works. We are a community. We're going to provide you 2,000 calories a day for a year. If you want to supplement that, which I definitely recommend, you supplement that. You bring your weapons. You bring your ammo. You don't have to check it in. I mean, the rule is during a collapse, everybody's going to be armed anyway all the time at the ranch. So to your point, you're not trading one dictator for another.
Okay. And then also when we were talking earlier, depending upon what people's physical abilities are, their age, their skill set, or whatever, everybody will have a job, even the children, whether it's feeding the animals, watering the animals, pulling weeds in the garden, everybody will have a job. And you'll even be able to rotate those jobs so people don't get bored real quickly, right?
Right. Well, everybody's got responsibilities. And the goal is when you arrive, for most of the heavy lifting to be done. In other words, you don't have to be out in the desert with a pickaxe clearing brush to create fire lanes, which I've spent the last 2 days on the tractor doing. You know, what is survival without some enjoyment? Nobody wants to survive to just be miserable all the time. People want to survive in order to look forward to a normalization into the future. So, yeah, we assign tasks based upon people's ability, based upon what they're going to hopefully enjoy doing. Because, you know, if you hate gardening, I don't want to sit there and assign you to our raised garden beds. And that's pretty much, you know, we attempt to fit people to their to what they're able to do and what they like to do.
So therefore, someone like myself, who after 30, 40 years of medical, maybe I'm kind of burned out with that, but I was also a teacher. So maybe I could ask for the job to be actually conducting the schoolhouse and teaching the children, right?
Sure. Or maybe you teach medical, you know, maybe you bring along the next generation of you know, people that can help heal unless you're completely burnt out on medical and you don't even want to pick up a syringe, you know, then I get it. I've been there, believe me.
I'm just burned out with medical surgical. That's all.
right. Listen, again, what is survival without some modicum of happiness? Like, right. I'll reiterate, nobody wants to survive just to be miserable.
Right. Wow. Well, we have, folks, at least another 35 minutes or so to go. If you want to call in and talk to Jeff about Fortitude Ranch or have any questions for Jeff or for Chris, please feel free to call in. Those of you that are regular listeners, you know the number, or you just go up at www.republicbroadcasting.org, and the phone numbers are there to the left-hand side where you can call in. Chris, do you have any questions regarding Fortitude Ranch?
No, I don't think so. I think he answered pretty much everything.
Yeah. So basically, you are in Nevada, which basically, from what we're understanding, let's say from, if it was from Portland, 6, 7, 8, it would be about a 9.5-hour drive. From, let's say, Douglas County, it could be anywhere from 6.5 to 7.5 to 8 hour drives to where you are. So basically, if people had this app would be able to alert them that something's going on. And then they'd also be seeing what's happening in the big cities. From what I understand, the big cities and what's happening there, and monitoring the fact maybe there's a complete collapse in the cities. That's pretty much your clue that it's time to go camping, right?
Well, here's what I tell people. I you know, total collapses are one reason to come. You're able to come to Fortitude Ranch anytime you feel unsafe where you live. So if there's a tornado or a hurricane or a wildfire or an earthquake or a volcano or bad people, you know, on your block, and you don't feel safe at home, you come to the ranch. And we will, you know, that's what your membership provides. Your membership also provides, in good times and non-collapse times, you are entitled to 2 weeks vacation free per year at any of our locations. So if you become a member at Nevada and you're like, well, I don't know if I want to spend 2 weeks in the desert, you can go to West Virginia and hunt. You can go to Wisconsin, and that location is on a lake. You can go to Tennessee, and Tennessee is hiking and hunting. You can go down to Texas. You can shoot rattlesnakes and eat them for all we care. Your membership also includes, we will sit down with you and we will map out several routes for you to be able to get to the ranch in the event of a collapse. We'll map out the fastest, and we'll map out the safest, and then a tertiary route. In case either of the other two, for whatever reason, or, you know, if there's an earthquake in California and our members in California can't get to us in a direct route, they need to know those alternate routes, especially people coming where we are. They have to come through the Donner Pass, which is, you know, if that gets shut down, which it does a lot of times in the wintertime, they have to know an alternate route. So we don't just take your money and say, you know, you have a room, see if it collapses. We want people to come out. We have gun ranges. We have hiking. We have beautiful oasis areas set up with fire pits. We do our very best to make this a relaxing environment in good times for people to come out to enjoy themselves. As a matter of fact, this past Thanksgiving, we had a family out and we all celebrated Thanksgiving together. And we plan to do that. You know, each year we plan to make that a tradition.
Okay. So you're saying that basically what it is that people, it's not like a timeshare where every single year, all of a sudden that they're finding themselves being told that, well, you've been paid into this timeshare and you own the timeshare. We've had a hurricane in Florida. Now we're going to charge you another $500. Oh, now it's been 4 months later and we have some upgrades we want to do. So now you have to send us another $600. It's not going to be where people are feeling they're bleeding money left and right, right?
No, we are not a timeshare. We're more like a country club. We're more like a country club where you pay an upfront fee, you pay an annual food restocking fee, and then you pay quarterly fees. The down payment, the upfront fee basically gets your room reserved, gets it built out. The annual fee is strictly for purchasing food. And then the quarterly fee goes to cover the payroll of the people that run the ranch 24/7, 365. I'm one of three people at this ranch. So those quarterlies go to take care of our payroll. And, you know, I'd love to work for free. Unfortunately, life isn't quite like that.
So let's say people are paying you, say, their fee for the food. And yet maybe let's say another 5, 10, 15, 20, even 25 years go by and nothing's happened to really justify coming out there. Then what happens to all that food, or what kind of food are being put aside?
Well, you're going to come out here because we're a fun place to hang out. But you know, food doesn't last forever. Food expires. Typically what we will do is things like, you have to be careful when you're prepping. And let me just talk about food for a minute, because it is the most important thing when it comes to prepping. When you purchase your food, you're going to be purchasing calories. You're not necessarily going to be purchasing nutrition. So what have always been the standbys? It's been rice and beans and pasta, right? Which will fill your belly and it'll give you calories, but it's not going to give you the full nutrition that a human being needs. So, you know, I recommend people, stockpile their own powdered multivitamin. It lasts a long time. I'm not a big fan of pills or gels, because by the time your body has gotten to the actual vitamin, it's had to get through the coating. And a lot of times our bodies just work faster than what that allows. I think you get something like a 13 to 19% absorption rate on vitamin pills and tablets, as opposed to a liquid or a powder, which is almost 100% absorption rate. The food that you buy also has to be cooked. So let's say that you're living in a place and you decide that you need to bug out and you don't have a community to go to. You're going to have to, you know, maybe your plan is just find a place in the woods somewhere, a cave, and hole up there, which, as long as you're not trying to live off the land, is not the worst idea. I mean, as long as you can transport a year's worth of food and the cave is big enough to keep it, and most importantly, you have enough fuel in order to run a stove, in order to cook this stuff, that's not the worst plan out there. You know, there are certainly worse plans, certainly better than the plan of the person that's going to go live off the land. You know, them and everybody else that didn't prepare are going to head to the woods and try to hunt. And I shudder to think what's going to happen. So the food is very, very important. Food will expire, as you know. Just because it hits an expiration date doesn't mean it's not edible. It just might not taste as good. But, you know, for instance, we used to stockpile bags of flour. And, you know, flour doesn't have a very long shelf life. And so what we started doing is part of the process of learning more and doing more is we started making hardtack out of all of this flour. And hardtack, I mean, they have found hardtack from the Roman times, which is still edible. So one of our people full-time spends about 10 hours a week doing nothing but making hardtack. And you want to be able to, when that food expires, you want to be able to transform it into something else. That doesn't always happen.
Right. Hold on just a moment, folks. Julie, are we going to a break?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Rolled out this morning, the kids had the morning news show on. Brian Campbell was talking about the fighting in Lebanon. Some senator was squawking about the bad economy. It's gonna get worse, you see. Need a change in policy. There's a local paper rolled up in a rubber band.
Welcome back, folks. I'm your host, Maggie Rose. I have my co-host, Chris Brumbles, on. We are talking to Jeff Slowek. He is the manager and the COO of the Fortitude Ranch in Nevada. He was talking earlier in the show about some books that are very good for you to see about maybe reading. One of them is by John Hollerman. That's H-O-L-L-E-R-M-A-N. I think it's called Survival. Yes, it's a survival manual, right?
And Survival Theory 2.
Survival Theory 2. And then there's Selko Begovic. That's S-E-L-C-O-B-E-G-O-V-I-C. That's like in Sierra Echo Lima, Charlie Oscar. Last name is Bravo Echo Golf Oscar Victor India Charlie. And it's called The Dark Secrets of Survival. He also said, I think you said that Colonel Miller wrote a book. What was the name of that one?
Rohan Nation.
Rohan Nation. And then the one that you highly recommend, especially for people in Idaho around the Redoubt News area, is a book by Robert Taber, T-A-B-E-R. That's Tango, Alpha, Bravo, Echo, Romeo, Robert Taber. And it's called War of the Flea. Now, it's interesting, Jeff, when you mentioned Redoubt and Redoubt News, Chris, you happen to have written quite a bit for Shuri and Redoubt News there in Idaho. You've written a lot of articles. You have a show that was called The Trigger Warning, and now you're planning to maybe in the future do a podcast, maybe by the same name, Trigger Warning. And you have quite a bit of relationship with some people in Idaho, don't you, Chris?
Yes. Yes, I do. And they are devout patriots. And, you know, the federal government doesn't really like Northern Idaho because it resembles the same, you know, topographically, it resembles Afghanistan. They've got a bunch of mountainous caves and stuff like that. And they know they don't want to go mess with those people. Those people are serious. They love their liberty and they don't want it taken away. Are you here? No.
Yeah, we're here. And so when we're talking to Jeff here about Fortitude Ranch, what's very interesting is the one they have in New York, the one they have in Tennessee, one maybe in Wisconsin, the one down in Texas, the one now in Nevada. These are places where if people do not have the family or the neighborhoods where they can count on people to pull together, this is a place where people can go and have people of the same like mind. Now, Jeff, I know that what Chris has done and our friend Jim Hoffman, they are both Army veterans like myself. They've both been involved in prepping and training people. Land navigation, I know Jim Hoffman has been involved in teaching land navigation. We've had some people teaching how to do Dutch oven cooking. You said that in your Fortitude Ranches, you even have people that are dentists, doctors, nurses, people with various skill sets. Could you share with Chris and I some of those?
Yeah, I'd love to, Maggie. But first, I want to answer the question that you posed to me before break. I kind of digressed, for which I apologize. You were saying that, you know, you're paying in your annual food restocking fee. You know, what happens to that food? That food restocking fee doesn't just go to purchase shelf-stable foods. That food restocking fee helps to pay for feed, hay for the cows. We've got 22 sheep, which are probably going to be 50 within the next 2 years, feed for the chickens, so on and so forth. So that annual food restocking fee doesn't always go directly to shelf-stable foods. It goes to help purchase feed for the animals.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, because you're going to already have animals there that can provide milk and eggs, right?
We're a working farm. We probably collect anywhere from 18 to 36 eggs a day right now with 21 chickens. And I expect that to at least double because I just went and we got chicks from Big R. And I also have 20 eggs in an incubator right now. So we are aggressively expanding our livestock constantly. And I also wanted to make one other point kind of off that beaten track. We don't just accept anybody that wants to be a member. We do have a vetting process. And there are three disqualifiers that are immediate disqualifiers. This is company-wide. And if you'd like to know what those disqualifiers are, I'm happy to tell you.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I want to know what hang on a second. I want to know what the sheep are for. For shearing, or are you going to eat them?
Well, they're primarily for making more sheep. Sheep are very easy to feed in the desert. They eat the sagebrush. So in a collapse, we won't necessarily have to worry with supplementing them with hay and grains. Mm-hmm. They procreate pretty well. And yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the wool that you can get off them could have some use, whether it's making a pillow for yourself or stuffing into a jacket, which is losing its filling. So we try to have animals that have multiple purposes. The chickens, though, are the big ones. Our plan in a collapse, we're going to start raising crickets here this summer and try to wean our chickens off the store-bought feed because we have to have a sustainable way to feed our animals when you're unable to get feed from another vendor. And that's one of the reasons why we brought on a permaculturist. You know, this guy is in his 70s, great shape, has a ton of experience growing stuff in the desert, originally from Montana, lived in Oregon for a long time. And he's a big part of our value proposition for our customers. Did I answer your question, Chris? Did I?
I mean, you obviously have them for more than just making pillows. Is it, I mean, are you going to eat them?
Sure.
Really, I've never had sheep. I don't know how sheep would taste.
Well, they eat a lot of mutton in England, and I'll be 100% forthright with you, Chris. I've never had mutton either. I've had lamb chops. I got to say that after watching these 9 lambs born, I don't think I'll ever have lamb chops again because they are adorable. And I know they're not pets. Yeah. I get it. But that doesn't make them not cute.
So if you shear them, you make money from them. Does that come off of people's – I mean, do you put that toward the ranch and take that, you know, lower people's price, or how's that work?
Well, right now there's nothing to really shear because we have Dorpers and they tend to shed their wool.
Okay.
So, I mean, we can collect it, but, you know, wool has to be processed. It doesn't come right off the sheep ready to be made into a sweater. It's dirty. It's got stuff tangled in it. So, yeah, you know, you can imagine. So it's there if we need it in a collapse, but it is not worth the time. Let me put it this way. The amount of time it would take me to process that wool and resell it, you would have spent more in paying me to do so.
Right. Okay. Well, at least they, I didn't know that they, you know, high mountain desert brush and stuff. So that's kind of cool.
And the cattle too. We're in a lot of BLM land, and there's a bunch of cattle that just do nothing but free range. So it's, you know, cheap meats.
Okay.
Now we have John from Colorado. He has a question. John, welcome to RBN.
Yeah, thank you, Maggie. Very interesting show. I like the concept of what you're doing. Where is the ranch located in Nevada?
You know, I can't divulge that on the radio, but if you would like to contact me and have a discussion, I can go through the vetting process with you, and if you meet the criteria, then we can have a discussion. I can tell you exactly where our location is if you'd like to schedule a tour. For obviously reasons of security, we don't just put out to the general public the exact location, because in a collapse, why be a member? I'll just go try to take what they got.
No, I understand. It's interesting.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be glib, John. I want to answer your question, and I wish I could. But we do take security seriously. And if we, that's why we don't post any of the locations. If you go to our website, you'll see a map with a rough indication that, you know, we are in northern Nevada, but we don't give exact locations for security purposes.
Yeah. And
no,
I understand, Chris.
No, I go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead, John.
No, I just it, understand. I makes me think of what the BLM did with the Bundy Ranch and all that. You know, if that made, you know, you have to be careful,
John,
on that.
I think what you're concerned about, John, is you just heard Jeff state that they have free range of their cattle on BLM land. And we know that what the BLM has done to the Bundys and what they did to Steve Hammond and Dwight Hammond in Eastern Oregon was basically trying to find ways to keep them from not free grazing by charging higher and higher fees. So, John, is one of your questions of Jeff, does Fortitude Ranch have to pay the BLM grazing fees?
I didn't think about that. Do they?
We don't allow our cattle to graze on BLM land. We have 150 acres, so we have several pastures upon which our cattle can graze. So thankfully, that is not part of the that's taken out of the equation. That's a great question and a great thought, though. Yeah. You know, with there are ranches around that do allow their cattle to graze on BLM land. Thankfully, we have 150 acres of scrub brush, and by the time that they eat from pasture one, or the time that they've eaten from pasture three, pasture one is regrown, so it's sustainable.
And just so everybody knows, okay, BLM can't own land. They think they do, but they don't.
Any other questions, John?
No, I understand,
John?
That. Well, I just asking this, if you know, with this. For years, I belonged to a shooting range down in Pahrump. It was called Front Sight, and John Stadmiller promoted that. That's how I got involved with it. It was very good. My wife and I were in California at the time, and California, you know, that meant. we were able to go over there and had a good time once a year, spending a week. But what happened through something, they had to give up the thing because somebody claimed he borrowed money. He was trying to sue him and take over his range. So they went through the courts back and forth, and it ended up that they had to give it up. It's taken over now by some people that are former military. I can't remember the name. But it's interesting. I don't know if you know who they were, but it was a very large, huge area. They promoted it for a lot of people, and they had to give it up. We decided not to stay because we're in Colorado now, so there's plenty of shooting ranges and gun shops all over the place, so we're fine without them in a gun club here in the community we belong to. But I just wonder if you knew anything about that and, you know, the times they had to go through. I know the state was on him for one time, and he... I forget the guys who started. Each ended up filing a lawsuit to protect all the members, but it still, in the end, didn't go through. But it's just, you know, even in Nevada, things were changing. So I'm glad to hear what you're doing.
When you operate a gun club, you're subject to a lot of restrictions and regulations. Now we have a gun range, but it's for our members, and since we're a private club and we're not a public course. We've never received any kind of static regarding that. And Maggie, to your question coming out of break, we count multiple surgeons and doctors as well as PhDs in our membership. So we have a very diverse, awesome. We make sure to have a diverse membership so that we're able to, you know, fix cars or fix people.
Yeah, the man's name was Dr. Piazza. He was a chiropractor. He started. He was a champion shooter. He started, but sorry they had to go, but we were lucky to be in Colorado doing that. So, but I interesting hearing you. I wish you good luck. If I wanted to contact you later about that, thank you very much, and keep going. Thank you, Maggie, for all you've done.
Thank you, sir. I look forward to that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, John. So. That brings up another question. I know this is something Chris would be asking. Chris, am I correct in wondering, does Jeff or does Dr. Miller and the other people, this is not a franchise. This is basically the Fortitude Ranches right now across the country. They're all owned by a certain body of people, but don't they have to be paying property taxes? Let's say in Nevada, do you pay property taxes to the county? Or do you have to pay property taxes to the state of Nevada?
We actually do have two franchise locations. New York and Tennessee are franchise locations. As far as what properties pay what property taxes, that is above my pay grade.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, but there probably are property taxes being paid, right?
Of course. I mean, I don't think you can live in this country, especially without being taxed for the ground that you set upon. So,
yeah, right. That's getting to the point now we're beginning to feel we're going to be taxed for the air we breathe as well.
It's gotten out of hand.
And what do you think the bullshit climate change?
I'm sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
Oh, I said, what do you think the Marxist religion of climate change is? That's to tax you on the air you breathe.
If they could tax you for blinking, they would. I want to tell you a story.
Better be careful. You're going to give them an idea.
It's not so much that I'm taxed, is that they don't care about making the money stretch like an ordinary American family would. I'll give you a perfect example. I owned a business, and I had about 4,000 square feet on a second floor of a building. The USDA was on the first floor. They also had the same amount of square footage. My rent each month was right around $3,200, and I had a discussion with the landlord, and he let slip that the USDA paid something like $14,000 a month for the same space that I paid $3,200 for. Now, that's not egregious. What is egregious is that three people worked at that USDA office. They had two government cars sitting in the back parking lot. And for the entire 5 years that I had a lease in that building, those cars were never moved once. Best of all, this office, you think of the USDA, they're doing something with agriculture. this office was processing loans that the USDA gives to people trying to purchase rural properties. So you're talking about $13,000 a month for three people, one of whom is a receptionist, in two government vehicles. If that is not the epitome of government waste, and that is why the bureaucracy doesn't work. It's because when people spend money that's not theirs, they don't care where the money goes. They don't care how much it
Absolutely. Costs. Absolutely. Spending other people's money is always nice.
Well,
I'm off my soapbox, Maggie.
No, the thing about Fortitude Ranch, and of course, yeah, Jeff was right about that. I've known Dr. Miller now. We've never met in person, but we've had contact with each other on a regular basis for years now, emailing each other. He's been up on the show. We've had phone conversations with each other. He's very thoroughly vetted my husband and myself over the years. And Jeff and I had some long conversations too. And they're usually a pretty good judge of character. I mean, they know what it is that's going to fit in a Fortitude Ranch and what isn't. One of the questions that one of my listeners wrote to me when she found out the other day, Jeff, that you were coming up, she said, I'm really concerned about bringing my teenage boys, and I want them, they're without a father, and she wants to see about possibly becoming a member of a Fortitude Ranch. She had about 2 years in the National Guard. That was all the military she had. She was a communications specialist. She's a single mother with two teenage boys. And she said that what she would like is for her boys, if something like that was to happen, that they would come to a Fortitude Ranch and they would basically have male figures there teach her boys basically those survival skills that she knows her kids were not given.
Yeah, and that definitely happens. And more importantly, you want to surround your children, and I'm a father, so I can speak from experience. You want to surround your child with people of the right kind of character. You know, I spoke earlier that we have a vetting process, and there are three immediate disqualifiers. The first is if you've been convicted of a violent felony, you're not going to become a member of Fortitude Ranch. The second is if you've been convicted of domestic violence, you're not going to become a member of Fortitude Ranch. And the third is, if you've ever been convicted of a crime against a child, then you're not going to become a member of Fortitude Ranch. And the rationale is very simple. If you can't control your temper in non-stressful times or times that aren't as stressful as a collapse, or you can't control your impulses, then I'm sorry, but we're not going to be the place for you. And that's a non-negotiable for me, you know, because I want people of high character and quality. And as the leader of this ranch in a collapse, I don't want to have to worry about who is predisposed to violence against the very people that they're supposed to be part of a community with.
Right. Now, one of the other concerns that somebody wrote to me, and this was yesterday, her name is Bridget, and she said, Maggie, one of the questions I would have for your guest is if someone like myself was to come to Fortitude Ranch, and what would be the process for when we first get there as far as orientation, especially if we haven't had an opportunity to have a visit to a Fortitude Ranch within driving distance?
Well, so that's going to depend on the type of collapse we're experiencing. If it's a pandemic, then we're going to separate everybody. The first people here that have rooms will be allowed to go to their rooms. We are obviously not going to shoehorn everybody into their rooms in a pandemic situation. So we have procedures in place, whether that be living out of your car for a week until we can medically clear you. As far as any other type of collapse, what happens is you come to the front gate, you have a preset challenge phrase that you answer. From there, you go to a welcome table. You are basically checked in. We find out how much stuff you brought with you. We then allow first come, first serve. We don't allow everybody to rush up and put their stuff away at once. Everything is done orderly. So that, you know, the last thing we want is an accident, a car accident or somebody getting hit by a car, so on and so forth. And then that's also the time that we get to assess the mental state of the people that have arrived. Understand that during a collapse will probably be the most stressful thing that's ever happened to somebody. They may have lost somebody along the way getting there. They may be worried about their child that's away at college. They may be worried about their parents or the grandparent that's in a nursing home. Everybody's going to arrive in a different frame of mind, and we need to have a way, which we do, to assess that when they arrive. And that's one of the reasons that when people arrive after they get settled into their rooms, we're gonna start putting them to work on guard duty. We're gonna start giving the tours. We'll start interviewing them and assigning them, you know, what their tasks are, and get their focus and their mind on the reality of what's happening right now, and let their subconscious kind of work out their worry and allow them to process that over time. That's not going to work for everybody, clearly, but that is the best way that we've figured out so far to help mitigate what's going to be probably a lot of distress from a lot of people when they first get there.
Right, right. Do you have any questions, Chris?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, and I know one of the things that, Bridget was concerned about, too, because she was in the Guard for a couple of years, she does have her tools with her, and she was concerned about, you know, what caliber tools would be allowed or would anything be allowed?
We have tools up to 50 cal, and as long as it's legal, and you have a permit for it, although in a collapse, if somebody showed up with a automatic tool, I'm not sure how much we would care whether or not they had the appropriate tool documentation, for the simple reason that if there's no one around to enforce unconstitutional laws, then it's up to the discretion of each of the ranch managers. We don't have a ranch policy regarding that, but what you bring is what is yours. And nobody's ever going to try to ask you for it or take it away unless you offer it up.
Well, I want to thank you, Chris, for coming on today and co-hosting with me. And Jeff, I want to thank you. Can we have you back, Jeff, in the very near future, please?
If your listeners are up for it, I'm happy to do it. And Chris, it was nice to make your acquaintance.
Nice to meet you too.
So very good. Thank you very much, Jeff, folks. It's Jeff Slowick of the Nevada Fortitude Ranch, and I will be putting up contact information where you can reach him by email in the chat box under the archives after this free archives goes to the RBN.
Thank you, Maggie Rose.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Chris.
Everybody take care. Of shame. God bless.
We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way off track. We're wide awake and we're madder than hell now. And we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Now we know our cause is right and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusanAnnasSecret.com. SusanAnnasSecret.com.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.